How's it work? Good?
Yeah, it's fine, but it's still
very fancy, but it's a little flaky, so it's good to have both.
Just push the red button.
Push the red button. Good morning. The pasuk explains that Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Hamechaseni me'Avram es asher ani oisa." Am I going to withhold from Avram and not tell him what punishment the people of Sodom have in store for them? But ki yedati zman asher yitzav es banav acharav v'shamru derech Hashem la'asos tzedaka u'mishpat. Because Avram Avinu instructs his children to be shamru derech Hashem and lasa tzedaka u'mishpat. That's why it was appropriate for him to have an advanced warning what was in store for the people of Sodom. Bisham Shrufal Hirsch points out that normally when there's a discussion of tzedek u'mishpat, first the pasuk will say mishpat and then tzedaka. And the reason for that is that a person first needs to make sure he has mishpat. He first has to make sure that he's honest. The money that he has is kosher gelt. It came to him in an appropriate way, and only then can he do tzedakah. If a person tries to do tzedakah with money which is not rightfully his, on that it says ani Hashem oyev mishpat v'soine gezel ba'ola, bringing an oila, bringing a carbon with money that is not yours, is something which is sonu in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zog Rav Hirsch, that over here in this pasuk, the order is reversed. It says, La'asos tzedaka u'mishpat. And the reason for that is that over here we're contrasting Avraham Avinu, we're contrasting a Yid with the Midas Sodom, with what they did in Sodom and Amora. If you look at the Psukim and the Midrashim, whatever Sodom was lacking, it was not mishpat. They had a tremendous amount of rules. The Gemara in Sanhedrin goes through many of the laws of Sodom. The problem is the laws themselves. They had taxes. They used to tax a poor person more than a wealthy person. You have stories of Eliezer, Eved Avram, with the fight that he got into with the judge. The problem was the mishpat itself there. And therefore the pasuk is pointing out that while mishpat is wonderful, you need tzedaka u'mishpat. Part of choshen mishpat, part of dinei mamonos, is not just the din, it's the lefnim mishuros ha-din. Zen enev ezel lechaser, in halacha, the halacha is, koifen al midas toim. Even though al pidin, you know, what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours. But in halacha, the fact that someone can be nana, and you're not suffering a loss, we say, koifen al midas toim, we have to act differently. And therefore, first Avraham Avinu was first tzedakah. There was the lefnim mishuros ha-din, and that became part of the mishpat. And perhaps this is why, when a person deserves a mishapara, if a person gives money on a deal and then tries to back out, as we learned, technically al pi din, he can walk away. There was no kinyan; it was just an agreement. He can be chayzer. However, we tell such a person that mishapara mi'anshe dar hamabel mi'anshe sedoyim va'amayra hu yifra mi'mishe en oimid b'diburoi. Such a person is following the ways of Sodom, he's following the letter of the law without taking into account his obligation of tzedakah of lifnim mishuros ha-din, and that's why he deserves such a punishment. Now, we've been discussing cases where a person pays for goods once he's paid, although it's not a kinyan, the halacha is, if he wants to back, he could back out, but he gets a mishapara. What happens if he pays for the goods and then, before he accepts delivery, they're destroyed? You go for Sukkot, you buy yourself a beautiful lulav of an esrog, you pay for it, and while the moicher is busy wrapping it up to give it to you, someone bumps into him, and the pitum cracks off. So although you've paid for it, the halacha is, if it was nenas, if it was destroyed, you have every right to back out, and there's no mishapara. The Baal Mor argues, but Rav Rishonim and Halacha L'maisa, we paskin, you have the right to back out. And Adarabah, the whole point of Amisha Parah, the only reason why Chazal took off the Kinyan Kesef, is to make sure the seller is going to take care of it. He's going to watch it until he delivers it. So therefore, since the buyer will back out if anything happens, the seller has a very strong incentive to make sure that nothing happens in between. Now, what happens if you pay for the goods and before delivery the market crashes? So nothing happened to the actual goods, but now you paid $1,000, it's only worth $100. So what's the halacha in this case? So over here, the Gemara Memtes Amar Aleph says that it has a story, a person gave money on Shumshimi. The halacha is, Yoikir Vizol is not a justification to back out of a deal. Once you made a deal and you paid for it, even though the value dropped, you have an obligation to go through with the deal. And if you don't, the halacha is, B'makabal Mishapara. Pashas not. There is a base of Ephraim and a Marshag that deal with an oinus lehavle lasuki adaite, but it's not for now. Pashas, there shouldn't be a difference. Now, what happens if you buy a futures contract? You put money down, you're buying oil for September delivery. Your counterparty happens to be a company by the name of Lehman Brothers. Now, at some point, you start getting nervous. Am I going to get the goods or not? Now, the goods, the oil's still there, as far as we know. The problem is that if you wait until September, you don't know whether this company will be around. So this is a case where there's a threat of a loss. There's a chashash of an oinus, but it didn't happen yet. So this is Machlokes Rishonim. The sugya that we learned this morning about the on Daf Mem Tes discussed the case where a person paid for it, and then he heard that the governor had his eyes on these barrels of wine, and he was going to steal them. So the Gemara says you can be chayzer. Some Rishonim say, we see from this Gemara, that even if there's a threat of a loss, as long as there's a legitimate fear that it'll be gone, you can back out, and there's no Mishapara. Others argue. Other Rishonim say that no. The Gemara says you have the right to back out, which is true. You have the technical right to back out. But you deserve a Mishapara. The Mechaber doesn't bring down this chiluk, but the Ramah says, Yesh Oimrim, that as long as there is a threat, that itself... Actually, no, the Mechaber brings down the Yesh Oimrim, Dehu Adin L'Mishal Choyzer Boi Mipnei Shu Yari L'Havsi Kol HaMekach, that the fact that there is a fear, there's a threat, that's enough, and that will justify backing out, and a person would not get a Mishapara. Well, not when he paid for it. Back then, no one imagined that it would happen. It was a new chashash that came up. But you're correct. If everyone knew about this fear in the beginning and he still put the money down, that probably would not justify backing out unless something materially changed. Now, the Sma in this halacha makes a very interesting point. The Mechaber's language is that if you're afraid, lahafsid kol hamekach, if you're afraid you're going to lose the whole deal, you can walk away even before the oinus happened. Zak the Sma, dikdek v'kasev kol hamekach, you're afraid you're going to lose the entire deal, lafuke im ein lira elam miktas hefsid, gen shekana yayim v'yore shiachmetz. This halacha is only... the entire thing is going to get destroyed. If Lehman Brothers goes, you're not getting a penny back, you're not getting an ounce of oil. However, if a person buys wine, and the wine will be delivered, nothing's happening to it. But he's afraid that if he waits another month to the delivery, by the time he gets it, it will be chaymetz, it will be vinegar, it'll sour. Now vinegar is usable. It has a use, it has a value. It just doesn't have that full value. There the Sma says, in that case, you would be locked into the deal and you would not be able to back out. Now, according to the Shaar Mishpat, this is true regardless. Anytime you buy something, if it's destroyed completely, you have the right to walk away. If there's a kilkul that just gets ruined somewhat, you're locked into the deal. So going back to your Esther that you bought, You went ahead and you spent who knows how much, you bought a mehudar dika esrog. And while the moicher was wrapping it, his hand slipped a little bit, and there's a little cut, there's a little scratch. So if it's possible, it's an oinus. You can ask for your money back. But assuming it's not possible, it still is kosher, it's just not as mehudar, it's not quite as beautiful as it was before, the halacha would be, if you want to back out, there's a mishavara.
Yain and chaimetz is a different item.
No, so it's not. The sman and the Pesachei Tshuva make it clear that it's considered the same thing. Now, in Hilchos Mekach Tois, if I walk into a store and buy wine, and they give me vinegar, that's called shnei minim. So they're certainly different. But it's not considered a complete loss because it has value, it has a use. Masha Enkein, if it's burnt, if it's gone, if it's stolen, it has no use, it has no value. What do you use? Okay, if it has legitimate use, I don't know, people, if you like esrog jelly, perhaps. But assuming you're going to look at it as something which is a complete loss, you would have the right to back out. If it's... Now the Aruch HaShulchan happens to argue. Aruch HaShulchan learns the Sma differently. He points out, the Sma says this halacha, that when you're afraid it'll get lost, you're only let it back out if it'll be completely lost. So Aruch HaShulchan's medayik, the Sma doesn't say this halacha in the beginning of the Siman. He doesn't say, there's the halacha mishapara. If it gets lost, there's no mishapara. If it gets lost a little bit, then there still is a mishapara. It's only over here. In other words, if there's a threat of being lost, you can only back out if the threat is going to be completely destroyed. A threat of the partial loss, that's not a justification. But after the fact, if it actually happens, the Aruch HaShulchan says, everyone would agree you would have the right to back out. And therefore, with this esrog, so according to the Aruch HaShulchan, even if it's still kosher, since there is a partial loss, since it's not as mehudar as it was before, you would have the right to back out. Since it's not just a threat, it's something that actually happened. So it'll end up being a machlokes Aruch HaShulchan and Sha'ar Mishpat.
Does it make a difference if you committed to it verbally, or if you paid for it?
Well, if you paid for it, paying for it is more than a verbal commitment. You said you're buying it, that's the first step, and then you actually paid for it. Had you not paid for it, if it was just a verbal commitment, that's much more kal. That's a sugya mechusar amana, which we'll get to next week, and then you'd be able to back out. Yeah, if you don't pay, then it's an issue of mechus ramano. It's not a question of mishapara, and it'll be much more ka.
How does it make sure that you've got a ship sank and the whole thing is destroyed? Last year, the whole thing is destroyed, the ship is sank.
Where the whole thing is destroyed, you have the right to back out. What we're discussing here is that if it's not completely destroyed, the esrog is still kosher, it's just not as mehudar, it's not as nice, it's yayin v'nim tzachoymetz. So there, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, if it happens, you can back out. If it's just a threat for a partial loss, you can't. According to the Sha'ar Mishpat, it doesn't make a difference whether it happened or not. A complete loss always justifies backing out, whether it happened or it's a threat. Partial loss never justifies backing out.
Yes. Does it make a difference if the person who is making the purchase is, quote, a Talmud Chacham, a Torah Gadol, and he makes a deposit, he signs a contract, and then wants to redeem on the contract, and then he says, well, I'm Mr. Torah Gadol, and
no. Now, the next question is, what happens if you put your money down, you buy the esrog, and when you come back the next day to pick it up, you look at it, you're looking it over one last time, and you see it has this little scratch, this little cut. You go over to the seller and you say, listen, I passed in like the Aruch HaShulchan. It's partially ruined. I want my money back. The moicher says, nothing doing. You know, I don't know if you noticed until now, but the lighting in this room is horrible. And the reason why we have such lousy lighting is so that my esrogim look beautiful. This was here all along. Or actually, no, I'm sorry. The other way around. The buyer claims it was the lighting was no good. It was there all along. It was mekach tois. The seller says, nothing doing. It was perfect when I sold it to you. Something happened afterwards. And if you want to back out, We'll go with the Sha'ar Mishpat, and you have a Mishapar. Who has the burden of proof? Now, this question is discussed at length in Siman Reish Lamed Beis and Siman Reish Lamed, And there are different halachas with chazakah. It depends whether it's something which is oymed l'kach and has a chazakah meikara. But assuming it's something which clearly was not created like this, it happened afterwards. And it's something which is not oymed to spoil, it's something which is, it's a chiddush, it usually doesn't happen. There the halacha generally is, and we'll get to it more by Rikos and Reish Lamed Beis, but there the halacha generally is, there was a vaday mekach. There was a sale. There was a kinyan. If you want to go ahead and say, maybe there's a problem and I want to get out of the sale, so we say, ein safek moitzin midei vaday, we say, kanim tzakan hoya, we say the sale was probably a good sale, the problem happened later, and you're locked into the deal. Zog marash, let's think about this for a minute. If I make a kinyan, I buy something. And after I buy it, I take it home, I find a mum. And I go to the seller and say, this mum was here all along, I want my money back. So there we say, mechates. We know yesterday there was a sale. Now there's a mum, maybe the mum happened afterwards, and you have no right to undo a sale because of your tiny suffix, because maybe it was there before. When a person pays for goods, for metalkalin, is that a mekach, is that a kinyan? Does it become his? So, midaraisa, when you pay for metalkalin, what's that? We pass like Rabbi Yochanan. That the moment you pay for it, it's yours. Chazal came along and said, wait a second. If paying for it is a kinyan, we're going to have a problem. If it gets ruined, if it gets destroyed, the buyer will be lost. Chazal said, no more kinyan. But there'll be mishapar. What did Chazal do? Did Chazal say, no more kinyan? Giving money is absolutely nothing. But we're going to give you a mishapar, we're going to give you a klal because you gave your word, you showed you were serious, you're backing out, so it's going to be a klal. That's one mahalach. Another way of looking at it is that no. Really, the minute you pay for it, it's yours. It's a kinyan. Chazal had a problem of nisr v'chitach baliyah. So they said, you know what? If you want to back out and accept a mishapar, you have that right. You can undo the deal, accept a mishapar, and walk away. But until you do that, until you accept the mishapar, until you exercise the right, it's yours. Kinyan kesef is a kinyan. That's a midaraisa, it's a kinyan. Zag marash, our case will depend on the shaila. Because if the moment you pay for it, it's yours, and now you're coming saying that perhaps there was a problem with the kinyan. So there we say, if there was a vaday kinyan, a suffix where there's a mum, nothing doing. You can't get out of a vaday kinyan. You'll have to go through the deal. If you want to walk away, you'll get and accept a mishapara, you could. But as far as we're concerned, the deal was done. Masha ain't kinyan if we accept the other pshat. If we say that when you pay for it, nothing happens. It's not a kinyan. Chazal said it's zero. It's not a kinyan. There's a din of isur v'heter. That if you make a commitment and you give money and then you change your mind, you get a curse. It's a shail of isur v'heter. There's no mekach. So then we have a suffix isur v'heter. You'll be able to back out. There's no mekach happen that we have to undo. Now this case is a little bit unique. But the Marash has another story, which is probably a lot more practical. It happens a lot more often. And this is what happened. A person ordered 1,000 yards of fabric. It was actually Chol HaMoed Sukkos. He ordered it, he paid for the goods, and they made up, it's going to be delivered after Yontif. Now that night the Meicher went home. It seemed there was a war going on. Fabric was very expensive. So he realized that, you know, I could have done a lot better. So he sends a message to the buyer, I changed my mind, and unless you're willing to increase the price by 30%, don't bother coming to me after Yontif, I'm not giving it to you. I'm being chayzer. The buyer heard about it, what are you talking about? A deal is a deal, your word's a word, how can you back out? And the seller said, I'm sorry, this is what it is, either bring the extra money or the deal's off.
Did he pay for it?
He had paid for it. He had paid part of it, actually. Okay. Well, we don't know what the fair price was. So anyway, so l'chayr, this is a clear case of if he wants to back out, he could, but there'll be a mishapara. So far, so good. After Yontif, the news broke that the war was over. They signed a peace treaty. So what happened? Overnight, the price plummeted. So the next day, the buyer, there's a knock on the door, and the seller is there, and said, remember me? We had a deal. The buyer says, what are you talking about? You told me you're not delivering. So the seller says, no, your word's a word, a deal is a deal. and I want the rest of the money. What's the halacha? It depends. When a person pays for goods, what happens? If you learn there's a kinyan, that means it's sold. Really, who does it belong to? The buyer. There's a halacha of mishapara that Chazal said, if you accept a mishapara, then there's an escape. You have a way to be mevatel the kinyan. If that's true, what that means is the moment the person paid for the goods, they were his. If the seller decides he wants to change his mind, is that enough? No. The buyer literally has to be makne it back to the seller. He has to give it to him. The seller has to make a new kinyan. Since that didn't happen, even though the seller verbally said, I'm backing out, that means nothing. And now that he changed his mind, he would have the right to tell the buyer, that's it, I want you to go, now I want to go through with the deal. And the buyer would have to either accept a mishapara or go through the deal. Masha'en kein, if you learn like the other tzad. The other pshat was what? The Chazal said paying is zero. There's no kinyan. It belongs to the seller. There's a yaradei, there's an isser v'heter shayla. Chazal said if you back out, you get a curse. If that's all it is, it's an isser v'heter shayla. The moment the seller said, I'm not going through with the deal, he's clearly releasing the buyer. The buyer is not obligated to go through the deal either. You don't need a kinyan anymore. A mechili would be enough, and the parties would not have any... The buyer would be able to say, I'm sorry, it's too late, you blew it. Once you backed out, I'm backing out, and there's no mishapara.
Let's say you were buying an ester from an ester dealer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you call it.
When the kinyan took place. I hear. Okay, good. According to where it's issur v'heter, well, you want to know if the seller still gets it. Once the buyer is walking away, l'chayra, the seller wouldn't get it. Correct. Nobody would get it. Mm-hmm. According to the first side, both would get it. Whichever one walks away today would get it. Correct.
Now,
what?
Right,
but once the seller released him, then if you need a real kinyan, there was no kinyan done. But if all it is an isser v'heter shayla, once the seller made it clear that he's not going through, he's clearly releasing the buyer and telling him you don't have to go through with it either. So the buyer would have no chiyuv. So the Marash deals with that. He says in isser v'heter, he says that's enough. The moment he made it clear that as far as I'm concerned, the deal's off, there'll be no mishapar anymore on the other party.
So, according to what you're saying, what constitutes a kinyan? Is it the money, or is it a written contract?
No. So the hope, when you're dealing with what we discussed last week, is that when you're dealing with metalklin, when you're dealing with movable goods, you have to take possession. Meshicha, hagbah, yad, chotzer. You can do sudur, chalipin. There are a host of kinyanim. What we're focusing on over here are cases where you did nothing but pay for it.
But
paying for it.
Yes.
Paying for it, the point is that even though midaraisa is a kinyan, midarabanan nisukitecha, it's not a kinyan. That we're discussing what the parameters of someone who backs out after paying for it is.
Yes, I get that. So does making a partial payment, it's called a deposit?
A partial payment can create a mishapara. A deposit, a non-refundable deposit, is a little bit more complex. We went through that last week. It probably does create a mishapara, but again, it's not so simple. Okay, let me just finish out the two other quick nafkaminas, and then we'll another thing that this that it will depend on this shaila is what happens if you a person gives a deposit and promptly drops dead. Does the seller have to give it to the kids? So if the deposit's a kinyan, it belongs to him. So when he dies, who gets it? His children get it. If the seller doesn't want to deliver it, there's a mishapara. On the other hand, if a payment does not create a kinyan, it just creates this isser v'heter kind of obligation to carry through with your words. You can't yarshin. It's not something that goes b'yerusha. You don't yarshin a schus mishapara. It's not. It's isser. It's not mamon, and there'll be no chiyuv. And the same would be true the other way. What happens if the person accepts a deposit and the seller does? So if it was sold, and just the seller has the right to back out and get a mishapara. So it's sold, it could be the kids have the right, have a chiyuv to carry through. Although that's, the Achiezer says that that's not true even on this tzad. But if you learn that it's nothing, it's just iser v'heter, so then clearly it's the father's obligation to honor his words. The kids that never made a commitment, they never gave their, they never said they would sell it, the kids would not have a mishtapara, and there would be nothing stopping the children from backing out. So now that we have all these shailas and we have told in this chakira, what's the halacha l'maisa? Which side is true? Now it's interesting, if you go through the shitos, this is the kind of chakira that Magidei Shiurim love. It's a gishmak shaila, there are interesting nafkaminas. But it seems, if you go through the Rishonim, the Achroinim, it seems that most of the Rishonim assume that once you pay for it, once Chazal talk off the kinyan, there's absolutely nothing happens. It's just an yeser v'heter shaila. All of the rayas, or kamado all of the rayas, to this other, to say there really is a kinyan, just to have the right to back out, it's explaining Shitas Reb Shimon, which is Shloike Hilchasa. It's explaining, the Nei Debuda says it to explain why you can't back out with just a threat, which also is Shloike Hilchasa. It's generally explaining Shitas that we don't hold like. And therefore, Reif Poiskim seem to hold that, like the second side, that when you pay for it, nothing happens, it's Isser V'Hetzer, and therefore a verbal release is enough. If either party dies, the children will not have an obligation to go through, etc. However, the Mishpat Sholom brings a raya from Rashi, from he has another raya from the Shalom Meshev, and the Mishpat Sholom says it's a sfeika dedina. It's a safek. It's not clear in halacha. So now the shayla is, now there's a sfeika dedina, what do you do when you have a safek mishapara? What's the halacha? L'chayra, it depends. If you hold that when you pay for it, the kinyan's a good kinyan, then if there's a suffix mishapara, since the kinyan was done already, you could, the buyer can say, for example, it's mine, I'm holding on to it, and I'm not going to give it back to you, since the kinyan's a kinyan, or and the money belongs to the seller, he can say, because the kinyan is a good kinyan, I'm saying kimli, and until you can prove I'm wrong, I'm not giving it back to you. My she'en kain, if you look at the other side, there's no kinyan. It's a question of Yisr V'Heter. Question of Yisr V'Heter. If there's a suffix, you can't hold on to them. The money definitely doesn't belong to you. The seller would definitely have to refund the money because it's not his. So what to do when there's a suffix, whether the first side is true or the second side, is gufa tali in whether the first side is true or the second side. So we're stuck.
Is this a
suffix? What? Well, again, if it's on the tzad that it's a kinyan and it's mom, there's mamonis involved, the moicher can say, as long, you know, once you gave me the money, the kinyan is finalized, the money is mine, the chavitz belongs to you, and therefore, I'm saying kimli, the money is mine, and I'm not giving it back to you unless you can establish that you have the right to back out. That's a question of mamonis. It's a question of yisr v'heter, then enachami, that perhaps the money definitely has to go back to the buyer, because the money is definitely his. There's a suffix whether we should give him mishapara or not. The answer is we won't be able to. So again, it's not completely clear in halacha. It does seem that Reuf Paiskim seem to hold that nothing happens, and therefore when there's a suffik mishapara, we'll say suffik, you know, a suffik mishapara will be lakula. That's what the Bach, the Erech Shai. I can't talk for Batei Din. I think the pashtus would be that by a suffik mishapara, again, there's Erech Shai, there's an Afkas Reuchel. Most Paiskim would say by a suffik you do not give mishapara. You know, a Beis Din may end up saying there's a kimli like the Mishpat Shalom that I can't tell you, but certainly if there are other tzadim or other tzerufim, they will assume there's no mishtapara when there's a suffix.
Is that, practically speaking, that would mean if we would go with that mahal, not to make mishtapara, any time the money is exchanged and no one can
do
basically a mishtapara is not
going to happen? No. When there's money is exchanged, you will get a mishtapara. It's only in these strange cases where somebody dies or one person backs out verbally, there's a suffix in halacha. So in the suffix, the Bach says you don't give a mishtapara. But if there's no suffix, if you paid and it's a clear case, that's halacha, that's all halacha. Correct. The question is how far they took it. Did they completely uproot the whole kinyan and say it's nothing? Or they said, no, the kinyan is the kinyan, but we're going to give either party the right to back out if they accept a mishapar.
And that's like, the, and that is, but then they're saying we're not using that for this.
Correct. It's a question of how far they were. In a case where a person says, I'm backing out, he accepts the Mishnah Berurah, then there's a Hefker Bezin Hefker. The question is, how broad was this Takana? Correct.
What about, I mean, I don't guess through it so well, but it's maybe more imaginable that it was speaking to a looming loss and the best that's enough for the grounds to back out.
So the question, the Gemara doesn't say, the Gemara says you could back out. The Gemara does not discuss Mishnah Berurah. So the Rishonim that say there is Mishnah Berurah say, the Gemara was talking about where the Dini Mamar, so you could or can't. But, and a Chanami, if someone who backs out will be subject to a Mishnah Berurah. Correct. They're arguing Pshat in that Gemara. Whether that means, therefore... That's the other Rishonim say that Mishnah Berurah, and they bring a raya from the Gemara in Amud Aleph, that when you ask a shaila to a Bezdin of, can I back out, they answer whether in Dini Mamonos you could back out. The Issur of a Hetzer shaila wasn't being addressed. That is what the Machlokes Rishonim hinges on. Now, just to briefly address the question that someone brought up last week, is that every time we learn something, everyone wants to know, what happens with checks? So what's the halacha? You buy your esrog and you give a check. Is that enough to create a Mishnah Berurah or not? So to understand this halacha, we have to have a little background. When a person makes a kinyan kesef, karka, where kinyan kesef works, you give money, any amount, the karka is yours. The kinyan kesef doesn't have to be cash. The halacha is shavo kesef can also make a kinyan. Anything that has value, you can give that the Torah as domim, you can give that as in place of kesef, and that can create a kinyan. What happens if you give a shtar chayv? Someone owes you money, you have a shtar chayv, you have a debt, you want to buy a piece of real estate, so you pay for it by giving this third party debt. So here the shach in Siman Kuf Tzadi says that it's not going to work. And the reason why it's not going to work is, again, it's really telling you in a sugya, but he says the halacha is hamoicher shtar chayv. There's halacha that if you sell debt to a third party, the seller, who doesn't have it anymore, has the right to be moichel the borrower. He can be moichel the debt. Sugya and Siman Samach Vav, we're not going to go through why. But because of that, zok the shach, when you give the seller an IOU note, a shtar chayv, he's not saying mechdas. Because he knows the buyer can be moichalit, he'll have nothing from it, he's not tzemich das, and therefore the shach says it cannot create a kinyan. However, zok the shach, let's say you give a mamrani. A mamrani was a debt that you couldn't, that the seller could not be moichal. So there's no problem. There, it has shavah kesef, it has value, and therefore if you give it to the seller, it's a good kinyan. And that's the shach's psak. Zog the Pisrei Tshuva. The Shach is talking about using third-party debt. So there he says, if you can be Meichelit, it won't work. If you can't be Meichelit, if it's Mamrani, it will work. What happens if you give a Shtar Chayv Shel Atzmai? You buy something, but instead of giving cash, you give an IOU note. You give your own Shtar Chayv. Now there, can you be Meichel your own Shtar Chayv? No. If you give someone an IOU note, you can't say I'm Meichel myself. You owe it to him. He can collect it. So we don't have that problem anymore. And therefore, it should come out that if you want to buy something with your own shtar chayv, it should work. And the Ritva, taka passing is like that. You can buy something with your own shtar chayv. Others, the Machane Ephraim, Simon Hay points out that the Rajba is not so sure. Other Rishayim seem to argue. It's totally Machlokas Rishayim in a few places in Kedushin. But at least according to some Rishonim, the kinyan will work. A shtar chayv can create a kinyan. Hold on. So what about by metalklin? What happens if I buy movable? If I buy metalklin, I buy an esrog and I give my own shtar chayv. I give an IOU note. The chayv should work. Zok the Machane Ephraim, it's going to be even better. You know why? When you pay for an esrog, what's that halacha? Midaraisa, it's a kinyan, right? Midaraisa, it's yours. Chazal had a problem. What was the problem? That if it's already yours, the seller is holding on to the money. He's not going to take care of the esrog. He doesn't care if someone passes it. It's not his problem. It's your problem. And he's going to let it get burned. He's going to let it get destroyed. If you pay for something with an IOU note, is the seller going to let this thing get destroyed? No, because he knows good and well, if he doesn't deliver the Esther, he's never going to collect this IOU note. Zokne Machne Ephraim, not only will a Shtar Choyv and IOU note make a Kinyan, but over here it will be a Kinyan Gomer. It won't be a Mishapara. Neither party can back out even if they're willing to accept a Mishapara. Since there's no problem in Esther Fuchitecho, the Machne Ephraim says, the Kinyan is final, the Esther is yours. So if you pay for your Esther in cash, either party can back out, subject to Mishapara. If you give a check, it'll come out, then it's yours completely, and you can't back out at all, according to the Machne Ephraim. What? Once you do Mashiach, once you take it home, it's going to be yours. Okay, Machne Ephraim is taking it to an extreme. He's saying that even if there's a problem of an Esther Fuchitecho.
Only in a case where you pay for an IOU,
but
basically the guy's
going to
keep watching.
Okay, no. If at the time of the Kenyan there's no problem of an Esther Fuchitecho, then the Kenyan takes place. If you cash it, something may happen in the future, that's not going to change the actual Kenyan. We're going to look at the moment of the Kenyan. What risks that change afterwards will not play a role. Now, although this is the Machne Ephraim's psak, lemaisa, the Nesivos and the Aruch HaShulchan and argue, they say loy plug, we don't start picking and choosing and saying this case it could happen, this case it can't happen, and therefore according to most Achrayim there'll be a loy plug, it will not be a Kinyan Gomer. However, according to most Achrayim, a Shtar Choyv will be enough to make a Kinyan. It's not Lekulei Amo. Again, the Machne Ephraim and the Beis Ephraim as well point out there are some Rishayim that seem to argue. But it does seem like Roiv Achroinim hold a Shtar Choyv will make a Kinyan. For Karka, it will be a true Kinyan. For Metalblin, it will be at least be enough to make a Mishapar. It will be like Kesef. Where things get a little bit sticky is that all these Achroinim are talking about a Shtar Choyv. You give someone an IOU note. Since he has something that has value, it's Shavakes that he can use it to collect, that will be enough to create a Kinyan, to make a Kinyan according to many Shitas. Is a check an IOU note?
Might bounce.
Well, an IOU note also may bounce. I mean, IOU note can't even... The fact that you have to collect it doesn't mean it's not a Shtar Choyv. So, there's a whole tumult about exactly what a check is. In Eretz Yisrael, the place can assume it's either like cash or Shava Kesef. It's not less than a Shtar Choyv. Because in Eretz Yisrael, in most European countries, once you write a check, it's proof of a debt. You cannot cancel it unless you have, unless there are extreme circumstances, you cannot cancel it. And the check itself is proof that you owe money. And if that's the case, it's a Shtar Choyv. And in Eretz Yisrael, it would probably be enough to create a Kenyan. In the United States, it's less clear. Because when a person has a check, a canceled check, I don't know that it's a check itself can create a debt. I took a little survey for our resident attorneys. One held it was, the other one wasn't sure about it. But it's not so clear. If you give a present, you write out a check, and then you cancel it. Do you owe him that money? When you buy something and you give a check, so the money is owed because you bought something. But if there's no consideration, you just hand someone a check where there's no choiv, I don't know that creates a debt. Now, in our case, where you're trying to buy something with this check, it has to be that the check itself created a debt. If it didn't create a debt, nothing happened, and it couldn't be a Kenyan. And therefore, you would really have to know exactly what the status of a check is before you're able to determine whether it would be a Kenyan or whether it would be a Mishapara. Okay. Once they scan and they get the money, that's the Pesach Chayshin points out that even if you're going to argue that a check cannot make a Kinyan, once you get the money, he says it will certainly work, and he actually adds it'll work l'mafreya. That's his chiddush.
Technically, anybody could do that.
Right.
Okay. You can go to the bank instantly, and it'll scan it instantly. So it could be that the disease today is not the issue. You're right. If I give you a matana and I start to cancel the check, as long as I don't cancel, it's a matter of who can get to the bank first. Being that technically you can transfer the funds immediately, maybe that has more teeth.
Okay, it's a svara, it's possible. On the other hand, right. On the other hand, I'm not sure that when a moicher sells something and accepts a check, is he completely samech das? Or today people always worried, maybe there aren't enough funds, maybe the check will bounce. I'm not sure where there is a level of smichas das. Okay, that proves that a check doesn't give them that security, and that would be a raya that it shouldn't be a kenyan.